Good morning. I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to begin with, I just would like to welcome each and every one of them, even though this is not our home congregation, but it's good to see that you all have come out this morning. And I also want to thank Frank that he called me and he asked me if I wanted to come and share the message here today. And also, I want to thank him for the invitation here. I don't want to give much of an introduction here this morning. I think most of you know that we are from the neighboring church here, New Life Church. The Lord has been gracious to us. The Lord has blessed us richly. And so that is pretty much all I want to share, except that I want to share that Susie is with me, my wife is with me. And so I want to go ahead and share the message this morning. As we begin in our message this morning, and I just want to mention that Frank asked me if I wanted to share the message in the English language this morning. So I will try to do that as the Lord gives strength and guides. But today I know that our focus is very much on the baby Jesus, how the Lord has loved us, how he has given his only begotten son. That is great joy. That is the message that I think we all love to share. But I believe that there's also a great joy. If you're here this morning, if you and I are here this morning, we can say honestly that we are saved, that we are a child of God. I believe that message that needs to be shared. I think that each and every one of us knows that we live in a world where there's still a great number of people that live in the darkness. And so who else will go and share the gospel if you and I are not willing to share the gospel? When I look back at my life, I remember the days that were so dark, I did not know which way to turn. But I thank God every day for the strength that he has given me and also for the transform of my heart. That to me is always something that I believe that is worth sharing. I believe today is a time where the gospel is more needful to share in this dark world. We may ask today, why is it more important today than ever? I don't want to say it is more important than ever. But when I just look at the words of the Apostle Paul, what he shared with young Timothy, and he gave them just a little glimpse what the later days will look like, how the love of the people will turn cold. And I especially look at one verse there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said that the people, they will have a form of godliness. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying this is pretty much all what some people will have. They will just have the good appearance. It just will look like they have a form. They are godly people. And so with that, I think we can look back today and can read the mind of the Apostle Paul when he shared with the young pastor. And he said, this is what the days will look like. I don't want to extend any of that on that message. But I believe today, as we look in the season that we're in, the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus, I believe that this is a thrilling season of Christmas. And I think it should be. Not that I'm saying that this time of the year is any more special, but what we see in this time of the year that our focus is just more wrapped around the gift that God has given us. As Christians, I believe that we are grateful and we're thankful throughout the year. But one of the reasons why I think that this thrilling season of the year, Christmas season, it is so special because all of us that are still here, we have another opportunity to be reminded of the love of God. When we look at the love of God, the love that God has for his people, it is worth sharing. But there is also something else to that. Not only does God have the great love for his people, but he says, maybe not in the exact words that I want to use, but he says, I love you, and I also can forgive you. That is the message for Christmas. That is the message when the Savior was born. But also, I believe that this thrilling season of Christmas that we're in today, it is not the same for everyone. And I want to share a few things that I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart that I need to share this morning. And the reason why I'm saying that this thrilling season is not the same for everyone, it is because we all have our own crisis in our lives. For certain people, it seems like that their world is falling apart. For others, the family is falling apart. And then there are those that the loved one has passed away. And for others, it's an illness. And then for others, it is perhaps the workplace that is falling apart. And then there's just the life itself. It is challenging. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all our problems, there comes the message of Christmas. Something that we all look forward to. Something that brings joy to us. In the midst of all this, there's the message of hope. There's the message of love. There is the message of forgiveness. There is the message of peace and joy. And I believe that is a message that is worth sharing. It is worth sharing, especially to those that are living in darkness. As we continue further in our message, I think that the message of Christmas, over the year, it has been misunderstood and misapplied to the lives of many of us. Again, I want to share a few things why I believe that this Christmas message, it has been misunderstood and misapplied. For some people, when they think of Christmas, the only thing that they can think of is business and profit. For others, it is shopping, gifts, tinsels and toys, celebrations and family gatherings. And then there's those that perhaps they have their mind set on Bethlehem, what it must have been 2,000 years. Perhaps they miss what it can be today. For many people, they have set their mind just on the stars in the sky, the shepherds in the field, and the angels singing. But then there are those that are searching, that are asking, where is the Prince of Peace? They perhaps have not experienced what the Prince of Peace is. But I think that we today, we should be grateful if there are still those people that are searching for the Prince of Peace if they have not received it yet. This Prince of Peace is Jesus, the Son of God. But the real Christmas message goes much deeper than that. It answers all the questions to the human race. And this, we can part that or sit that in three different points. One, in the birth of Jesus. And the second one is the death of the cross and Jesus' resurrection. And the third one is hope that Jesus will return. And that should always bring us hope, joy, and peace. Those of you that have the Bible with, let us turn to the book of Luke. I want to go ahead and read three verses here. Mainly, I'll be looking at verses 10 and 11. But I want to begin in verse 7 out of Luke chapter 2. And it says here, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn." Then we go down to verse 10 and 11. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people." Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," and here's that word, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Before I go further in this message, I want to share a story. I was encouraged with the story that Brother Abe shared earlier, and it was in a way touching. And I trust as I read this story here today that may also touch someone's life today in a good way, in a way that we know that the Savior is there. This story is related to a mother and her son. And what this mother did, she would take her son each day into the bedroom of her son. The story doesn't give me the age what the son had. But the mother, she took time every day and walked into his bedroom with her son. And there was a picture on the wall from his father. And his father had died in war. So one day, as they're in the room, as they're gazing at the picture, the young boy replied to his mother, and he said, "Mom, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be good if Dad would just step out of that frame and come and be with us?" And the reason why this mother would walk into the room every day, it was just so that she could keep his mind fresh to his dad. But just that question that this little boy had, if Dad could just step out of that picture. If we look back today, 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem, God did exactly that. God stepped out of that frame. That baby Jesus was God in a human form. He humbled himself and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in our likeness, and your likeness and in mine. He identified himself to your problems and to my problems. He identified himself to the whole human race. When God in a human form came into this world, he could and he can understand each and every one of us. There is no problem too great, too big that he cannot understand or identify with. We read in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14. John, chapter 1, verse 14. I want to read this verse here. John, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And the glory is the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." There is so much in this verse. I will not take time to go into the depths of it. But just by looking at that verse, we can tell the mind of God. That is also what we can see when Jesus, when he came into this world, he became the perfect teacher for us, for each and every one of us. No matter where we live, no matter what language we speak, no matter what color of skin we have, but he became the perfect teacher. Through the life of Jesus that he lived in this world, we can see how God was thinking and what God was thinking. Through the life of Jesus, when he was in this world, he set that perfect example how to live. And I believe those of us that are Christians should do no less than what he did. Not that we will go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, but Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it tells us how Jesus lived in this world. It tells us exactly the mind of Jesus. The time that Jesus was in this world, he modeled with his life what we are to become today. Jesus was the perfect model, no matter what ages we are, young or old, no matter where we live. But Jesus has modeled that in his life. I believe that is a great requirement what the Lord has for us. The life that he has given you and me, that we may also model the model of the life of Jesus. The next, we want to go to the second point, and that is there's a death. For Christmas to have a meaning, we cannot separate that from the cross. In order to understand the depths of the the meaning of Christmas, we cannot separate the cross from the manger. We find that the angel said at the birth of Jesus, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Is that not the greatest news that anyone can hear, that he shall save his people from their sins? We find later on in the life of Jesus himself, where Jesus himself said, "Unto this I have come into this world." In the book of John, there's a number of verses that we can read where Jesus said that he is the good shepherd, and he had come to give his life for his sheep. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15, I want to go ahead and read that verse in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. This is what the Apostle Paul, years later, said. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus, he came into this world to save the sinners. When I look at that word, that Jesus came to save sinners, I can't help it about going back into my teenage years and the life that I lived back then. Not that I want to share much of that today, but it was very displeasing to my parents. And when I look back now, I can see that must have been very displeasing for the Lord. But when I read a verse like this today, all there's left for me is to be grateful that God has given me a chance to repent and follow his footsteps. Not that I'm saying I do it perfectly, but I'm trying to follow his footsteps. Jesus has left a great example. And likewise, we as Christians, we should live up to that, to leave a great example as well. When I put all these verses together, the central message of Christmas to me is this, that Christ can, through his death and the resurrection, can transform lives, individuals, and society. He is all-powerful. He is the Savior of the world. I believe that at some point, one time or another, it may not happen to all the people, but most people that I know, at one time or another, they are admitting that they're sinners and that they have come short of the glory of God. But oftentimes, it stops right there. They don't look at the manger. They don't look at the crucifixion, nor do they look at the resurrection, the things that Jesus has accomplished. Nor do they look at the cross where Jesus says, "It is finished." They begin to look at themselves and see their own failures, which we all have failed. But that is not the stopping point. When we begin to see our shortcomings and our sinful nature, that is why it is so important that we look to Jesus, because he is the Savior of the world. Jesus has done his part. He has done whatever it took, whatever it needed to take. And the Bible does say that we are sinners. And the only cure for sin is the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. On that Good Friday and Easter, what God did on those 2 days, we do not want to separate that from the Christmas story today. On that Good Friday and Christmas, God did for man what man cannot do for themselves. Again, God said, "I love you and I forgive you." This is the good news of Christmas, but you and I, we also must do something. Once we see that we're sinful, that we have sinned, we have come short of the glory of God, We must do something that is not easy for us. And so many times pride stands in the way. But we must humble ourselves and admit that we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And then by faith, we turn to Him as Lord and Savior, and we repent. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 13. There we see a perfect example of the publican. This is the story where the publican prays. Here in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, it says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, sinner." We see the difference here between the publican and the Pharisee, but it was the publican that received a blessing. It was the publican that turned to the Lord, and he humbled himself, and we must do no less than he did. In the book of Psalm chapter 51, I want to use the last portion of that verse, Psalm 51, verse 17. It says here, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If we come like that before Christ, it says that God will not despise. I believe that each and every one of us that has gathered here this morning, that we would all agree that perhaps a sweeping repentance needs to take place across the country. Probably better said, a sweeping repentance should take place or needs to take place across the world. And I believe that mankind needs to do something to that. We may say, what can we do across the world? Perhaps not much. But you and I, we can let our light shine before our neighbors. We can let our light shine in this world. But the greatest need that humankind needs a change of heart. This is something that each and every one of us needs, that change of heart. Jesus said that you must be born again. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. The Apostle Paul said in his famous sermon at Athens, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because there is appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Some people call that the famous sermon that the Apostle Paul was preaching, that every man, no matter where we live, they need to repent. We may ask today, who should repent? The scripture is very clear that everyone must repent. Everyone needs to repent. When we look at that, the message is very clear. The message is very simple. It says, repent or perish. That is also a wonderful message for Christmas. With that, we go on to our last point, the third one. The third point that we look at is that there is a glorious and a wonderful hope for the human race. I don't know what your messages have been throughout the Advent season, but most likely we have heard all of this, but the hope and the peace and the joy. So that is why I wanted to use this last point today on that glorious hope. As Christians, I would like to use this as an encouragement. As Christians, we don't have to aimlessly wander around. As Christians, we can have this assurance that Christ is coming back. There is hope that he will return. There is hope for every believer that there is coming a day in which Jesus will return and we shall see him as he is. With that, I'd like to share another verse. This verse is written in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says here in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One of the encouraging points that we see here that the Apostle John is writing to the church, that he says that we are now the sons of God. It just reminds me again, if you and I, if we can honestly say today that we have accepted the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, we need to share that. That is what the Apostle John did. He writes a letter to the church and he encourages those people. You are now the sons of God. As Christians, life is a process. We become, throughout our life, more and more like Christ. This process will not complete until we see him face to face. We keep growing. We keep on reading. We keep on living for the Lord. This is a process that keeps going. For some people believe that it's only once and for all. But this is a continued process. We have another verse that we want to look at, and this verse is written in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Most people know this chapter as the love chapter. And I want to use this one verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. And it says here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church for Corinth, and he said, "For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face," referring to Jesus' return. "Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." The Apostle Paul, I think he makes a couple of very clear statements here. One, what we see in this verse here is, he says, "For now we see through a glass," and he uses the word "darkly." It is almost like if the Apostle Paul is saying, "I know that there is a brighter and a better future coming. I know Jesus told us that. But my understanding, it is kind of like if I'm holding a dark glass in front of me, and I know there's much better stuff on the other side than what I can see. That is why I'm looking at a dark glass. Deep down in my heart, I know that there is a better day coming. I know that Jesus is returning, but I just can't see it. Because this glass, it is too dark. I can't see through it." But then he says there's going to come a time. And that same verse here, 1 Corinthians 13, 12, he says, "But then, face to face." I believe that the human heart cannot understand this. But this is a promise. That is the assurance of salvation to the Christians, that there is a better day coming. What joy it is for us to know today that Christ will return. And as we come to the conclusions, I want to put these three things together. The first one, Jesus will return. But the first point is, we cannot separate the birth of Jesus in the manger. So there was a birth. Jesus was born. Secondly, his death. The Bible points it very clear out. It says that Jesus at his death, he wore a crown of thorns. Thirdly, but when he comes again as King of Kings and the armies of heaven with him will take control of this fallen world, sin shall rule no more. At the second coming, he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a glorious time that will be, what we can look forward to. The scripture tells us that he will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. He will wipe away all the tears from the believers. And there shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more pain. And there shall be no more death. When Jesus returns as the Prince of Peace, then he will bring that peace which you and I are longing and desiring for today. Peace that no eye has seen and no ear has heard. And with that, we want to turn to the last scripture passage I want to use for today. And this verse is written in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 3, perhaps a very familiar verse for most of us. Here in John chapter 14, verse 3, we read these words. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That where I am, Jesus said, that there you be also. This is the promise of Christmas. This is our hope today. This is our hope today that the day is coming and we will see Jesus as he is. And then there will be no problems. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. But then there's going to be that peace, peace with God, the peace with Jesus, and also the peace with one another. This is the message that meets the human heart. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Those of you